everyone's focus is on the breakup. Like, I always hear people that say, well, we were together for 5 years, we're together for 10 years, and he just left me out of nowhere, and then he's awful and terrible to me and all these things, and how can we go from here to there? And I'm like, queen, let me sit you down while I tell you this. Sure, you guys were together for 5 years, but how many of those 5 years were sustainable and healthy? I had to face my insecurity, not necessarily, I'm a fuckboy, I need to be better to women. It was just an inverted response. It was a symptom of why I was the way I was.
It is more often what is not said that is the problem, as opposed to what is said. Because it's difficult to have the really honest conversations with someone, because you have to expose who you are. And that is a really scary place for either gender to do.
Men burn out too. And it's hard to have to pay for women that don't give a damn about you. And you look at that on your phone every day. Men ain't crap. Men ain't worth a damn thing. Men ain't this, as you should. Look, you know how much eggs are right now? Why the hell should I buy you dinner? Like, what the hell? Like, so it's, I might as well play video games and jerk off. So I'm like, I'm the one that has to buy you food. Like, that's the difference. Dating is like going to the casino. Like, you're going to lose money. You're not alone, Michelle. There's so many people that are so focusing on, why do I keep attracting terrible men? Why does this happen to me? Why is this so awful? Why am I the one that this?
Because you, girl, you're ignoring it.
Yeah, it's not so much of logically what you want, it's what you respond to. And like, players, F-boys know, and that's how I started this whole game on social. I'm like, reformed F-boy telling you like it is. I know that you got your little rules, and also I know that they bend and break with the guy that you like. The goalpost isn't a man. The goalpost is learning to love yourself and regulate yourself and be a more secure person.
This is the perfect topic. God, I love this. The information shared in this podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. It should not be considered as professional legal advice or a substitute for seeking professional legal advice. I'm Michelle Locke, and this is Love, Lust, Law. Today, we have Eli Vasquez, who has turned into one of my favorite people that I've met on this podcasting journey over the last 2 years. I had the privilege of coming onto his podcast 2 years ago now, about. And he and I just kind of clicked from the start and had a great time. And every now and again, I bother him and say, hey, you want to come on my show? And so he did a live with me. We've done this. And it's really a fabulous, fabulous time every time. But Eli is a viral love and dating coach, storyteller, and award-winning filmmaker who's helping women break free from toxic relationship patterns and build lives filled with confidence, healing, and authentic love. Through his powerful coaching, viral content, and emotionally honest storytelling, Eli has inspired millions to rethink the way they approach relationships and self-worth. He blends humor, vulnerability, and real-life insight. He also creates content that not only entertains, and boy does it, but sparks real transformation. With a background in comedy, I can always tell that, and filmmaking, Eli has mastered the art of turning emotional truths into compelling stories that resonate deeply with audiences around the world. Whether he's on stage, behind the camera, or working one-on-one with clients, his mission remains the same: helping people rewrite their story into one they're truly proud of. Please welcome Eli.
Whew. I needed that. I didn't even know.
It's good, right?
Beautiful intro. Oh my God. Wow. That, I'm honestly like, oh my God, that was healing in a way. So beautiful. Thank you. So happy to be here, everybody. Hi, how's it going? Oh my goodness. I didn't expect that one.
How did you switch from being the fuckboy to this now? Because you're not that anymore. You're pretty awesome. Yeah. You're funny. You're smart. You are giving insight and helping women in ways that I think needs to be done more often. Like, you're doing a good service. So how'd you get here?
Yeah, I get that question all the time. And I usually get it from women that have shitty ex-boyfriends. And I'm like, it's not going to happen, Beth. Like, your ex is going to be for the streets forever and it's never going to work out. So I'll start there and then I'll talk about my story. But it's like, typically everyone's like, how'd you do it? How'd you do it? How'd you do it? So I'm like, my thing is like, it's really hard for ladies to digest this because they struggle with how they've been hurt by men, mm-hmm. but it requires a whole lot of empathy on the side of men where, like, say, avoidant attachment. You go online, avoidant attachment are like the plague. They're the devil. But I have to remind ladies, I did not choose to be this way. I was this way because I was insecure and I didn't know how to accept vulnerability. Now, that is not my fault, but it is my responsibility to face those things. And what it was I had a roster. I was hollering at a bunch of chicks. I was like whining and dining. I was going on amazing dates and I didn't like them and I would ghost. I was in relationships. I made all my partners anxious because I wasn't vulnerable in there. So, and why, where it came from was because I was scared. I didn't know what it was like to be vulnerable. I didn't know what it was like to like really receive love. So it was, but I wanted validation from women because that's where I seen like my self-worth. So like how men grow up is very different. Like I always say, like, what are we watching as kids? Like you're watching the Disney movies, you're watching the rom-coms. The woman starts single and then she finds that one person that chooses her and the movie ends when she's in a relationship. So you're thinking, oh, I just need to be wanted by that one. And I'm speaking of generalities here.
Yeah.
But men, I grow up in competition. The cool guy gets the chicks. I'm like, I'm watching wrestling. I'm watching like, you know, UFC. I'm watching all these things. And all my boys and my dad included, Mr. Fuckboy McGee, I was seen as, oh, self-worth is multiple women liking
and wanting you. Yeah.
So that's what I equated as self-worth. So, but the reality is I didn't love my damn self. So I always tell ladies is you may see a man and he may be confident and smooth and like be all that, but I will challenge the fact that that's also what insecurity looks like as well. Everyone thinks like, oh, there's an ex-girlfriend that made me change my thought process. No, there wasn't. I was miserable. I didn't love myself. I suffered from depression, anxiety, all the things. And I suffered from a panic attack. I dropped to the ground. I was like, holy shit, I need to do something different.
Yeah.
So then panic I jumped into therapy. I jumped into personal development. Exactly. So I jumped into all these things. And then I discovered, holy shit, I got a lot of work to do here. And it took years. So that's, I had to face my insecurity, not necessarily, I'm a fuckboy, I need to be better to women. It was just an inverted response. It was a symptom of why I was the way I was. And I tell ladies that all the time to like not, because they beat themselves up so much. Well, I should have done something differently. Or why doesn't he like me?
It's not you, girl.
I'm unlovable or whatever. It's not even you. We were screwed from day one. Even when I said, oh, you'd be an amazing mom and let's start a life together. I had no idea what the hell I was doing. I never said actually that, but
yeah. Oh, I was like, ooh, who'd you tell that to? Because she's pissed.
Oh, still pissed. Listening right now. Angry. Swiping right hard now, on him.
You provide an invaluable service to your clients. And it's predominantly women, is my understanding of who you primarily help out.
Essentially, I started as a personal development coach, just like generally just like, hey, I know what it's like to feel fucking miserable. And this is the stuff I've done to now live the life that I'm proud of. And I can look in the mirror and not hate myself. Like that was the baseline. And then what happened was me talking. I just randomly made a TikTok of like, this is why guys don't like you. And that like went viral because all my female friends were pissing me off with their like advice that they needed. And the thing is like, I know my friends. I know what they've gone through. I know their childhoods. I know their backgrounds. I know their insecurities. I know their negative core beliefs. And I know how those men are a reflection of those things. And me being a guy, I know how my insecurities then attract those type of women. So I'm like, okay, I'm online, I'm seeing all this content that's out there, and everyone's like blackhead energy and not the bear and all these other things and division and yelling and all this stuff. But no one's really talking about the inner work here of not so much of, okay, how do I get a good guy or where are the good men? But like, how do I be what I want to date and relationship wise? So my approach is typically, you know, I work with people that are, you know, navigating dating or maybe they're going for breakup or divorce or what have you and trying to rebuild their lives. So I like to focus on one. And I always say, if you could answer this question with me, this is where the real work is. Because a lot of them are like, he ain't shit. He's for the streets. He's awful. He's all that. Answer this one question. Without blaming him, why are we here? And if you could answer that, that's where we start to do the work. Because that's where it's like, oh, I didn't set boundaries. I didn't verbalize my needs. I looked past a whole lot of red flags. I wanted them back and I completely lost myself. Okay, now we're going to unpack where that came from. And like, I don't care about what you did. I care about the why you did it. So then we get even deeper and then we find that inner child wound. And then we're like, oh, okay, that's what we're healing. It's not about this guy. This guy is just like a mascot. He's just a symptom. He's just a runny nose. And you could clean up the boogers all you want, but it's not going to really do the healing. So like, and I always tell women, I could give you all the information about a men's point of view and I will, but if you don't know why you keep responding or how you got there, you're just going to end up with another one like him. So yep. It's like, we got to get to the real core of it. So it's understanding what those wounds are, how they show up in your adult life, and how do we learn some tools to say, okay, rather than going right, I'm going to go left. But it's really scary and I'm used to reacting going right. I'm used to reacting in this way because that's like my nervous system response. So what are some tools just to take a moment, check in with myself and say, rather than breaking no contact and texting him, I'm going to go do some hot yoga. Rather than wondering, is he happy? I'm going to sit down and ask myself, what the hell am I going to do to be happy? Without right. saying like, oh, I miss him and I'm losing these things. What do I get to do now? And what do I never have to deal with again? So we're just shifting your brain in a way of not so much loss, but relief. Not so much, oh, I'm scared and I need to be seen and loved. No, we're going to do this scary nurturing action. So it's really just reparenting yourself. And it's like, I make content around, this is why a guy doesn't talk to you. And everyone's like, what? And then at the end, I'm like, then we're going to go really deep and why, how you could really actually do the work. So it's been really cool to have people go really deep within themselves and start noticing the dating game. And it's like a completely different world. And I have clients that tell me like, Eli, I can see a fuckboy from a mile away. Yeah. Like, and I see how I'm responding to it. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm like in the Matrix when things are like moving slow now. And I'm like, oh my God, this is what I was doing before. So it's really cool to see that like nothing is personal and everyone's fucking scared. And it's the people that are facing their fear is really what's making a change in their lives and their dating. So it's really just helping people face their fear and having a healthy relationship with it and call out the BS and keep it moving along the way. So that's it in a nutshell. So it's either we go the dating route or we go the healing route, but both are the same. It's your story. And like the guy, the getting over the guy is just like the surface level goal. It's who you become in the process of achieving that goal is what really matters. So that's what I focus on more than anything is what do you face along the way? I think, I mean, as a coach who particularly works with women, they assume that I'm always going to be like, yeah, right, ladies. And then I got to like pump the brakes and be like, nah, listen, he operates differently.
They do.
Just like how you wouldn't want him to say, hey, let's do the nasty, throw those legs up, shorty. You know, you don't want him to say that.
You throw want the legs up, shorty. That's a good down. One.
Also, you got to understand that you got to communicate a little bit too to say, I do want to throw my legs up, but it would mean so much to me if XYZ, XYZ. And he's like, okay, does that mean I get booty after? Yes, okay. And then he's washing dishes and he's rubbing your feet or whatever.
Oh my
you know,
God.
It's just communication. Yeah, it's like, you know, so that's
you it, do the laundry and fold it. Ooh, you're getting lucky,
dude. I had an ex that had a broken trash can, and then we went on vacations. I paid for great experiences. She never got more amped and ready to go until I surprised her with a new trash can on a random Tuesday, and she was just like, this is a brand new stainless steel trash can. I'm like, yeah, I didn't even ask you to do it. You just did it. And I'm like, yeah, because I saw the trash can was broken from like 2 weeks ago. And that was like bigger than anything yeah. I could have done ever. So it could sound frustrating for guys who might be hearing, but also it could be very simple. And that should give you a sense of relief for the guys too.
I spent 2 years begging my ex-husband to help, begging him to help. You're killing me. I can't do this anymore. Begging for him.
Yeah.
Never listened. And here we are.
That's it though, right? It's like, there has to be a different action. Like there it's like management. It's a relationship. It's a business contract agreement that we're agreeing to. Like business goes through seasons, right? We're going to have to shift and do different things, but we got to work together here. And it's like, I that's the hard thing for me. I understand it on an emotional end why things don't change, but on a logical end, it's really hard, right? It's just like, this isn't currently working. This is non-sustainable. I will eventually leave you, or I'll be so burnt out and angry and we'll be fighting that we'll just destroy this thing. And right. It's like things still don't change. And then there's always like an emotional underlying there where, say for your example, Michelle, you could take that very personally, which I don't blame you for doing that. That's your person, right? But there's probably, he has such a terrible relationship with his own ego that letting his guard down and just holding you and saying, I'm really sorry, and having to receive that just feels like I'm vulnerable and I'm wrong and I'm less than and I'm this and I'm that, thus I suck and I'm terrible and all that. So rather than going down that wave of a negative core belief of what he truly believes in himself, he rather gets defensive. So it's just like, yeah, it's crazy.
And it literally would have taken, you know, really not much change. It really wouldn't have taken a whole hell of a lot, because when you invest, you know, 22, 24 years with someone, you don't want it to end, because you don't want to have that time wasted. And yeah, no one listened. He just didn't listen. And it was like something simple as, can you please ensure the teenage boys don't keep me up at 2 a.m. with their gaming? Like, have them be quiet, because they don't listen to me at this point. They'll listen to you. But if men just understood that it really is, and Jake, you and I have talked about this, it's, there's a difference between listening and hearing your person.
Yeah.
Because you can listen all day long, but unless you hear what they're saying, nothing's going to get better.
Yeah. I will add too, it's like you even bringing up, hey, I want to talk. That's you already, nothing was going to happen. Like that, yeah. Right there of like, hey, I need help, or hey, can we talk about this? Or hey, I really need to talk tomorrow or when you get home. He's already triggered. He's already defensive. Mm-hmm. His guard's already up. There is no communication. He immediately is like, nervous system response. She's making me anxious. She's making me feel this way. She's making me she's doing this to me, when it's just, this is what a relationship is, bro. We have to communicate. And this is the issue I deal with a lot of people that I work with, is he's so great in the beginning. Now I'm like the enemy, and I just want what I had. And there's so much like functioning going on his end that is making it. Yeah, it's so simple. But again, there's so much working underneath that they can't emotionally regulate to actually listen.
Yeah. They can't. And then what was interesting, because we talked about it with Steven, that episode getting ready to drop, talked about how men have to feel, because women talk about being safe, feeling safe. But men have to feel safe in their relationship to expose who they are and what their needs are, right? And so there has to be some sense of safety on both sides. And boy, is that a challenge for men in particular to really admit their vulnerabilities. And Jamie and I, one of my good friends and I, were talking about this last night over dinner. And it was like, one of the sexiest thing about a man is when they are vulnerable. Like, that makes it yes, please.
Men aren't always rewarded for being vulnerable. Okay. There's an idealized version of what vulnerability is in a relationship or in a man's life. Vulnerability does take a certain maintenance and does take a certain person to understand how to deal with a man's vulnerability. Not every woman is ready for that. And Eli, I'm sure you talk to a lot of women who have gone through this and like, I'm trying to get my man to be more vulnerable, be more communicative. They may not be at the place where they're ready. That's probably why they come out and seek you.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing I hit on is accountability, is like your person is a reflection of you. It's either like the things that you're afraid to face or the things that you're looking past or whatever else. And I got to call the ladies out sometimes of like, you ain't perfect. Like I've been in situations where, you know, there is an emotional reaction. I verbalize my needs and you have your own ego that you have to deal with sometimes. And that could be difficult to hear. And also with men, if we're going to talk about, you know, attachment theory, I'm like, say you want to go to the avoidant route, we're slow processors. So the way women are stereotypically, generally speaking, are more anxious. So they want to deal with it, the reassurance, they want to just talk about it, get it done. Guys, they get overwhelmed and they're just like, and then the constant reassurance, the constant need, the constant fixing, the constant all that, you're like, yeah. And then they just shut down and then it turns into, yes, dear. Okay, dear. Whatever you say, dear. All right, dear. You know, it just died. I don't even want to verbalize my own needs because I'm too busy verbalizing your needs. And thus the what have you. But then it's not healthy, because then it turns into resentment. So that's why it's like important to really break this down and create structure around communication.
God, I love this. I mean, this is the perfect topic.
To your point, is men often pacify women? you know, I'll take care of it. And a lot of the stuff is just in one ear, out the other. And Michelle, I hate to say this, but the reason I was doing this is like, you call me slow as a snail, basically on his last slime, because I take so long, Eli, to ponder, because I know if I make the wrong move, I'm going to hear about it. And guess who I'm going to hear about it? The big queen bee here. So she's actually really good at accepting male flaws and male mistakes because she deals with them constantly in daily life and in her career.
Yeah.
But it's true, I'm Michelle. I'm not lying, Michelle.
I really am.
You are, you know, people have been saying that. See, I'm finally, you're on board with this. Eli, people are talking about Michelle. They say that she's dude adjacent, which basically means she's the kind of woman who can easily fit in and become one of the bros, but she's got a little something special, a little something. And the bros start to look at her a little differently. And all of a sudden she's like confused, like, hey, bro, let's go, you know, slam some beers. And they're looking at her like, huh? And she's like, why are you looking at me that way? Why are you, what's that look in your eyes? It's called lust. It's called desire, Michelle. Get used to
it. Am not one that picks up on any of those hints whatsoever. Like I had three male roommates in college, right? Like we had a 4-bedroom apartment. I lived with 3 men. I was the only girl. No, I didn't sleep with any of them. I always got along really well with men. Always. It's just, they're easier to get along with.
I have a lot of female friends, so I feel really comfortable around women. Obviously, the stuff that I do working with women. But I'm still a guy, and so I have my moments where I'm just like, I don't really get it, or I'll say something dumb, and my female friends are like, why'd you send me this stupid meme of whatever, you know? And the comedy's a little different, but I could tell. I'm like, I'm not surprised at all, Michelle, that you had that. You could have roommates that are dudes and be completely fine.
Completely fine.
Pube hair everywhere and all. Like,
oh, yeah. Men in bathrooms are so gross. I learned that at, like, I think I was 20 when we all lived together, and it was great. Like, there were never any issues. It was great, but
yeah,
God, they were gross because I shared a bathroom with one, because it was an apartment with 2 bedrooms on either side, and each side shared a bathroom. So I shared a bathroom with Brian. Yeah, it was gross.
Yeah, but I like what we're talking about, though, because it's like everyone's focus is on the breakup. Like, I always hear people that say, well, we were together for 5 years, we were together for 10 years, and he just left me out of nowhere, and then he's awful and terrible to me and all these things, and how can we go from here to there? And I'm like, queen, let me sit you down while I tell you this. Sure, you guys were together for 5 years, but how many of those 5 years were sustainable and healthy? Like, you can track the crumbs to the bakery of what led to this kind of situation. Now, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying he should have done what he did, like quickly rebounded, cheated, whatever. But that is a whole lot of built up resentment, not even necessarily on your part, but there were signs. And it's important to kind of practice what is being said, what is not being said, what are the patterns in relationship, tracking that, facing fear, and all those things, so we don't end up in these situations again, right? So, and even if the relationship's going to end, you know, we want it to glide versus crash. So, yeah.
And what I was going to say is, I think it is more often what is not said that is the problem, as opposed to what is said, because it's difficult to have the really honest conversations with someone, because you have to expose who you are. And that is a really scary place for either gender to do.
Eli, you attract a lot of women, right? In terms of
clearly.
Your own personal life. And then all, no, but in personal life, but also on your business, right? In terms of like bringing out sort of women come to you in various states of need, let's say. Yeah. Okay. And Michelle,
I mean,
don't
Eli's go. A good looking guy. Like, he's.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go double entendre with this. I knew you were going to go double entendre with this, Michelle. But the reason I'm saying this is that you're like the what women want kind of guy from the movie. They are able to read your mind, and they can work with you and kind of sort of adapt what guys are looking for, why guys rejected them, why they don't like certain guys, and why they can't find a man. Michelle and I had a conversation about this, about women have said this before, and it's been in songs and movies. Why can't I find a good man? There are no good men out there, right?
Yeah.
So my question to you is this. Do you find that some of your clients sort of, let's say they overinflate their own value in the marketplace or their own value in what men are looking for because they think, well, I'm enough, or I just got out of a relationship. I know men are like this. Men are like, they get single and they think, ladies, here we go. I'm ready. And they fall flat. You know what I'm saying? It's fucking you porn forever. You know what I'm saying?
Ladies, so it's you're like, welcome. Here I am.
Yeah. Everyone, I have a lot of ladies that are like, I'm ready to date now. And
you're like, no, girl, you're not.
Yeah, well, like, first off, dating is, I think everyone's, the thing is, you're constantly battling your ego when dating. Because, like, I always say it like this, is like, dating is like going to the casino. Like, you're going to lose money. So you're going to deal with fuckboys, you're going to get rejected, you're going to get ghosted, you're going to deal with those fears, you're going to deal with anxieties. It's not going to be, it can be fun depending on how much you got in the bank. Now, if you feel insecure and you're not lovable and then you have like $5 in your self-love bank account and you go to the casino, that's going to be financially devastating and you're going to hate it.
That's such a great example, way to put it.
Yeah, and if you know you're the shit and you're a millionaire in these streets, you're going to go have a good ass time. Yeah, you're going to play, you're going to lose, but it doesn't defy yourself worth. And it's really just like your relationship with rejection is what's going to help you like navigate the dating game, because your ego wants to be wanted by everybody. Your highest self just needs that one person. You just need one. So the journey to that is going to be a lot of you facing yourself and your insecurities. So that's how I like to like navigate it when people are like, I'm ready to do this. I'm like, slow down, Stacey.
Girl, no, you're not.
Pump the brakes a little bit.
You know, we talk about how lazy men are. We've talked about that on our last episode at times. You know, women are lazy too. But when it comes to dating and courting in this era, men can get really lazy with it. They'll claim women's lib. They'll claim, you know, well, men don't do that anymore. There's a lot of shit that chivalry goes right out the window when it comes to dating. And I feel bad for the next generation, the Gen Zs, because not only is dating down, but chivalry is down, courtesy is down, socialization is down. And I don't even know how you would adapt to new people in this era where nobody's putting out the effort in some ways.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think the issue is like, yeah, we're in a digitized society. COVID really expedited us by like 10 years of where we're eventually going to go in terms of
made it worse. TikTok
and, yeah, dating apps and everything else where I have people tell me all the time now, it's like, okay, I'm ready to date. So I jumped on the apps. And I'm like, that used to not be the sign that we're ready to date. That used to just be like a side option tool that's fun, that's just there. And now it's this like norm initiation of like, I'm dating now, thus I'm on this app, which is completely foreign of what actual dating is. So it already shoots you in the foot because there's just... So people do not choose people the right way on apps like they do in person. Like I call out the ladies all the time where if you met a guy at an airport and you spill his coffee on the shirt and he's like, oh my, and you're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I messed up your shirt. And the guy's like, oh, I don't like this shirt anyway, it's fine. And then you guys laugh or whatever and exchange numbers. On that plane ride, you're calling your mom saying, I found the one. But if it's that same guy on a dating app and you scroll through a photo and he's wearing like toe exposed, like thong sandals at like Applebee's or something,
or Crocs,
you're going to swipe left. Or Crocs. Thank you, Michelle. Right there.
Men, do not wear Crocs for the love of God.
So that right there. And if he wasn't wearing Crocs when you met him at the airport, you might have looked past the Crocs on date 4 or 5 eventually when you saw the Crocs at his place.
Right.
But it's just completely like foreign and way to date. And we all are like we're all superficial now, especially on the apps. Like on the apps we're superficial, in person it's a little different, but it's like, it's really hard. And then you burn out, men burn out too. And it's hard to have to pay for women that don't give a damn about you. And you look at that on your phone every day. Men ain't worth a damn thing. Men ain't this, as you should. Like, you know how much eggs are right now? Why the hell should I buy you dinner? Like, what the hell? Like, so it's, I might as well play video games and jerk off. So I'm like, I'm the one that has to buy you food. Like, that's the difference. Yeah, so I get it. Like, I understand it, you know, in that perspective. So, yeah.
You know, it's interesting, but I'm old enough to remember when getting on the dating apps was a form of desperation. I hate to say it like this. When you couldn't make connections to the bars. You couldn't make connections wherever. And you sort of delude yourself into thinking that it's going to be this sort of utopia, right? It's like, I'm just going to have my pick or whatever. When I was on the first time, barely got any matches, but then you realize it's kind of a game and you realize that. And Michelle, I told you this. When I was drinking, I gave up drinking like 11 years ago. But when I was drinking, and I never had a drinking problem per se, but you could see my face. Every weekend was about drinks. It was about drinks. And it wasn't a cost thing. Yeah. It was just the lifestyle. It was like I'd go on two or three dates a weekend. One would be great. Two would be okay. You know, it just depended on what it was. But it was like a job. It was like a full-time job. Now, cut to 2026. I can't even imagine what that world looks like in terms of this, because we didn't, you know, back then when I started, I was on Yahoo Personals. Okay. I was on OkCupid at the beginning.
Wow. Does anyone remember the Craigslist back pages?
Oh, Michelle, what are we doing? Michelle, oh, God. So many red flags here. Good God. Everyone knew not to go there.
I'm not even going to go. I never got there, Michelle. I'm sorry.
Not, that bad. I never went there either. I knew exactly the URL.
She put it up in the feed.
The casual connections page. Hey, yes, wait, let's meet at an hourly rated motel with color TV.
Now, listen, I have some cases that have involved those particular websites. I had one that involved ipoppy.org.
Oh, God.
When you set up a profile on it, what was it like? Like, what was the experience like for you when you put on a profile for Matthew?
I have never set up a profile on any dating site ever. Ever.
Today.
No, ever. You know, here's what I will say. As you get older, I'm just glad that we did not have people with the phones they have now back in, like, the college days and the 90s.
Wouldn't have been a lawyer.
Thank God.
Oh, yeah. You would have been disbarred before you got barred.
There was some dancing on bar tops.
Yeah. My dad, what was it? Everyone asked me, like, how do you know so much about
Eli
this dating stuff?
Oh, God. Eli just said my dad and put me in the same category. No, not in the same category.
But just for your example of before social media and internet, my dad was, like, the ultimate player. Like, I grew up, like, with a different girlfriend every year, meeting them, shaking their hand, going through the same gambit, whatever. So, like, I saw what it was like to be a player before the internet, and my dad, as he was still being a player and Facebook was coming out, he was so pissed. He's like, I don't hear him. I'm like, what's this tagging bullshit? Now people are tagging me. I'm like, don't tag me that I'm at a place. Don't tag me if I'm at a bar. I'm like, well, Dad, maybe you shouldn't be hollering at multiple people that think you're, like, you're with them or whatever. But yeah, it's like entirely different game. But, like, I think, though, it's like, I love how you guys are all subtly telling on yourselves with, like, the YouPorn and the casual connections on Craigslist.
I'm not on YouPorn.
I didn't know.
That was Michelle. Michelle prompted me. I'm not. No, I'm telling you. Like,
you guys are
like,
nasty. God. I'm kidding.
I mean, I got married in 2002.
Just about, okay? Like, before the internet.
Before the internet. Before Al Gore created the internet, the WWW.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I got married in 2002. I started dating my ex-husband in 2000. And then I got divorced in 2024.
Yeah, so, those are two totally different worlds. Yeah, that's wild.
I really didn't do the modern dating. I got out of my marriage and recycled someone from the past, but it worked out pretty well.
Beautiful story, right, Eli?
It's a beautiful story.
I recycled someone. Were they at the Goodwill store? I was shopping for suitors, and I found something in the shop. A family had used it for 25 years, but it was still beautiful. I polished it off a little bit, put it in my trunk, and took it home. It was great, beautiful.
It was great. Someone else's trash is someone else's, like, gold medal.
Exactly. You guys met up at Applebee's, drank too many margs, and then, you know, just the makeout session with the to-go boxes in hand outside.
It's God. Now so that's romantic. The mental picture.
Beautiful.
Okay, but don't make fun. My ex-husband proposed to me in the bar at Chili's.
We talked about that. Yeah, I know the Chili's. I mean, and I love Chili's. That's fantastic. You got to rewrite that.
Did I not tell you that?
Based on everything that I now know about your former marriage, color me not shocked, but I will say, did he pay at least for the apps?
Yeah, he did. We went to a comedy show after that. And then the question he asked was, and this is verbatim how he asked me to marry him. He's like, so how am I supposed to ask you this? verbatim.
Did he have like hot sauce on his fingers from the wings that he was consuming or not?
No, I think it was the chips and salsa. The chips and salsa, okay, but no.
Yeah, you are a chips and salsa.
Swear to God. Swear to God, verbatim. How am I supposed to ask you this?
Oh, my God.
Eli, does that tell you something off the jump a little bit? I really do want to know this.
First off, Michelle, you should have known there's so much to unpack there, Michelle. What the hell? Like, for Chili's alone on everything. Like,
No, Chili's on New Year's Eve.
That's kind of romantic, though. But the way he said it was really, that's the red flag for me. Like,
oh, my friend, there were so many red flags that I blew through before then.
Was there any green flags, by the way? That's what I really want to know at this point.
Our first date, like actual date, he got so drunk he barfed all over me.
Yellow flag?
Oh, Michelle.
Was that caution? I don't know, Michelle. Your world is full of flags. It's weird. I don't know where the green or the red like, begin and end.
I saw the flags.
This is great, though, because you're not alone, Michelle. There's so many people that are so focusing on, why do I keep attracting terrible men? Why does this happen to me? Why is this so awful? Why am I the one that this...
Because, girl, you're ignoring it.
Yeah, it's not so much of logically what you want, it's what you respond to. And, like, players, F-boys know, and that's how I started this whole game on social. I'm like, reformed F-boy telling you like it is. I know that you got your little rules, and also I know that they bend and break with the guy that you like. So it's like, it's really important that you check that nervous system of yours and your fears and where it's all coming from and how you respond to these men.
I think Eli, for like the rest of the week, is going to refer to the back pages.
The back pages and Yahoo Personals. I've never heard that Yahoo had a dating app function. It so that's was, crazy to me.
It was primitive. But also, too, one of the things I will mention about the early days of online dating, I wasn't in the earliest date, you know, I was in an 8.5 year relationship, but let's just say that second layer to it is that it still felt very human interacting. There wasn't such a immense amount of people, and there wasn't sort of the way that the software worked. It wasn't so dismissive with things, right? It wasn't like choosing a show on HBO Max. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't set up like that where you could just swipe, say, you know, what am I going to watch today? Like, I know this from my experience talking to other people in the dating world is that women tend to online date when they're at home at night drinking wine. And it's almost like, do I watch Netflix tonight? Do I get on?
Do I swipe Tinder? Right? Like, or is it
do
left?
I get on Tumble? Yeah, it's a little bit like they want to create like an experience. Like, rarely do you see a woman checking their matches if they're stressed at work or they're what. There's a little bit of like, I'm going to sort of make this into an experience. And they build these sort of things up in their head. Like, they'll watch like The Bachelor or something like that, right? And then they'll start, I'm looking for my rose, you know, in this in this whole life that I have. So I think that's something too, Eli, is you sort of have to battle against the sort of fairy tales, right? And I think that women are indoctrinated with this very early on. You know, a woman could come to you, great student, ready to go, whatever. And then all of a sudden there's so much in the social media world that sways her own value, her own deficit when it comes to that whole casino metaphor that you brought up in terms of like, you could build them up. She's like at 99% and you get her back and she's at 13% because she went down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I always say like, you have to see dating and the journey of looking for love as a personal development journey, like a mental health personal development journey. That's how I frame it from the beginning is you're attracting who you are, not what you respond to. And so you may grow up in a dysfunctional childhood. Maybe you have a high tolerance for chaos. Maybe you're a big people pleaser. Maybe your anxiety runs rampant. Maybe like all, exactly. So all these qualities will show up as you navigate dating, especially the guy that you like. I'm not talking about the guy collecting dust on Yahoo Personals that you're just kicking down the road because you really like the other guy.
That was
me,
though. I was the guy on Yahoo Personals that was collecting dust. This is not going the way I wanted it to, Eli. I'm not feeling so good about myself anymore.
AOL have personals, too? Didn't AOL have them, too?
Yeah, they had chat rooms, and I think they may have had personals in terms of like collecting dust, which I do from time to time, is that you find ways to sort of navigate through this. And the internet kind of tells you who you are in a way. Right. Like you can go out and create the best pictures, the best filters, the best this and that, but eventually you got to show up in person. You actually have to do the work and you actually have to communicate with somebody. It's not just about comments and likes and attitude and vibe.
Yeah.
You really have to show up.
Well, that's why I talk about rejection. It's like you just said it right there, filters. We think filters as, ooh, I look cuter now. No, filters is saying, I fucking love Star Wars. And if you date me, we're going to go to some Comic-Con conventions and I'm going to cosplay. And I, if you don't like that, back to the streets, that's fine. Yeah.
Like if you're a LARPer, the person should know you're a LARPer.
Yeah. Like if I'm on a dating app and I say like, hey, yeah, so I'm going to go to this like WWE wrestling event. And a girl's like, oh God, I'll never go to those. All right, we're not compatible.
Thanks.
I'm gonna move on.
Good.
But I'm not gonna like make my profile look like, oh, so as many people want me as possible. Like I'm trying to find my person here, so I want rejection. But if that's really hard for you, then that's something you have to unpack internally. So that's why I say like dating is a personal development journey, because you're going to face parts of yourself through this person. Like I always call clients out all the time of, and I love what you said is like, what is, before you open up that phone and go on those dating apps, check in with yourself. Like, are you trying to be saved? And they always like, Eli, I'm not trying to be saved. No, sit with me now.
Let's be real.
With what you're currently feeling. Yeah, like just sit with it, because I'm looking at The Bachelor. My girlfriends are getting married.
You want
I'm
Cinderella.
The only single. Yeah. So I'm like, I need that person. I need all that. But dating, it's a long-term thing. You got 99 rejections to get to that one. So, and you just got to trust that process. But yeah, you're going to be facing yourself in a lot of different ways. And what's beautiful about framing it that way is that the goalpost isn't a man. The goalpost is learning to love yourself and regulate yourself and be a more secure person through a scary process. So you still win despite the outcome. And so this way it's like serving you in the long term, but in the process of you being your most authentic, then you find your most authentic person. So I always tell people, I'd rather have you like wait a couple years, go through this BS and find the right person than immediately jump into some love bomber just because you want to get saved in these streets. And then you waste years of your life just to be back to where you started.
And then you have to hire me to get you divorced.
And then you hire me. And then, great, the world keeps turning. We get the bag. It's great. Thank you for hiring us. But we want you to be happy and we want you to be, you know.
Yeah, like if I had couples get back together, I'd be okay with that. Go back, get together. We're good.
You know, you're talking about like self-love and self-work. And that is a major commitment. And it's also a very scary place to start. Eli, okay,
it
there's so
sucks.
Many distractions out there. It really is. I think I realize this is that, you know, one of the things that I do in a couple other podcasts, and we talked about this on our last show, is that one of them was about me not dating for a couple of years, just to sort of understand, learning to get to know myself before I get to know someone else. And that was such a valuable tool for me. And I think that we're in a very impatient society. And everybody's telling you right after a breakup, you got to get right back out there, get on the horse. And you're talking about something where, are you prepared to ride? Are you prepared to, you know, take that journey? And that's the problem, is I see a lot of people trying to solve their sort of deficiencies or their voids through other people. Like if I just go out and date or whatever, I'm going to fix myself. That doesn't work that way.
Yeah, no, hell no. So I tell people all the time, first off, heal. And everyone says, well, he already moved on. He rebounded. He moved on. No, he's not moving on fast. He's distracting fast. He's not facing himself. He's a human being. There's a nervous system. It takes time to process. That's why he keeps picking and prodding and looking at your stuff and everything else. It's just a vicious circle that he can't get out of. But you need to face yourself. You need to take this time. And I love that you did that, Jake. I did it too. I took years off. It was the most therapeutic experience ever, because I was constantly nervous, overwhelmed, triggered in some way, trying to people please or trying to always be on, that I didn't take time to really sit with myself and say, what do I want? And how am I getting in my own way? And what are some new actions? And how do I regulate myself to not be reactive, but proactive in my approach to dating or what I want in life? So, and it takes time for that to happen. So, and also there's this big thing I want everyone to hear too, is there's healing post-breakup single, and then there's living that's people don't give themselves time to live. Oh, I'm healed. I'm not crying every day. So let me just jump in the dating game again. Slow your ass down and enjoy life a little bit. Guess what? You do find your husband and he's picking his damn toenails for the rest of your life and he snores. And that's what you're going to deal with forever. So just take a summer to just live and just design a life that doesn't feel I'm constantly crying, but I'm actually happy and I'm experiencing joy. Because I always tell people, like, that's your partner, bruh. Like, that's your, you are still Batman and that's your Robin. They're supporting you in your life still. And it, the story doesn't end once you get a partner. It's like your story continues. They're just supporting you through the process. So it's like you got to just take a moment to live single, you know, and not just heal single. That's how I like tell people too. Just take a minute, take a beat.
When you're out there, I want to bring you up, Michelle, into the conversation because it is your show. Michelle is someone who has, much like people online, you deal with a lot of advice. You'll see people, this is how you date. This is how you heal. And then you'll see people like, I went on the worst date ever. Men suck. I'll take the bear over the man. There's all these sort of mixed messages when it comes to this. So that you tend to put people in a category where if they've ingested too many things, their compass is all over the place, right? And Michelle has dealt with so many people in a toxic frame of mind, toxic sort of lifestyle. By the time they come to Michelle, you know, they ain't looking for hope. They're looking for a fast, quick, you know, exit from this horrific situation, most likely. But with her, she was also dealing with a very, at times, toxic marriage as well. How do you undo all that toxic? How do you undo all those things?
How do you fix someone like me?
not you. You're fixed, Michelle. You've never been broken, but.
Oh, no, my sweet friend. I am so very broken. Nope. So very broken, but it's okay.
Well, Eli's here to fix you today on this show.
Oh, okay. Wait, Michelle. Whoa.
He's like, time out.
Words matter. Okay. Words are powerful. You say you're broken. Guess what? You're just creating a reality that you are.
Yep.
And correct. Versus saying, you know what? I learned my lesson. I'm just a girl growing up for the first time. I've been through some things. It shaped certain things. I'm restructuring certain things and I'm excited for the next stage of my life. Even if you don't believe it.
No, I believe the it. Word you should I do. Like, it's been a shit. Like, to get to where I am today has been quite the journey. Jake has really seen me the whole time that I started this journey. I think I came on Strictly Stalking, his other podcast, within 2 weeks of me moving out from my house, my marital residence. So Jake has really seen me the last 2.5 years completely change. Wow.
That's incredible. I love that.
Michelle, up until about 2 or 3 weeks ago, always had this frame of mind where because she got into a relationship and a marriage so quickly in her very early 20s, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Is that career and relationship were sort of tied together in a way, right? These sort of achievements. And then it was like this 20-year sort of marathon of everything just all together, but it became her life. So a lot of her dating, let's say, experiences, tropes, or whatever, would jump back to those insecure teen years, right? Mm-hmm. Things where she had to basically forcibly bring dates to dances, things like that. Like, do things where she was this insecure.
I threw my prom date down bleachers and told him he was taking me to prom.
That's one way to do it. Okay. That's probably legs doesn't work. So I'm like, I will pick you up at 7 o'clock, you know? So yeah.
She would jump back to that time. Like we talk and she dating makes me sick or whatever. And it'd be nauseous because she would go back to the time when she was dating. And that was in her late teens, early 20s. I mean, that was and she realized she wasn't really dating, I'm sure, that much because she's also in law school. So you don't really have a lot of time for that.
Well, my mother said when I was younger, Michelle, it's going to take a very special person to love you. Like, thanks, Mom.
I was like, whoa, that's sweet, but wait a minute.
Eli, your latest client just announced herself here. And as you see with Michelle, she tends to overlook her beauty often. And I think that she finds men's men's desire of her, a curiosity, not something to capitalize upon, but I think she's getting there slowly but surely. I've seen some pictures lately on our Instagram, if anyone want to check those out, which basically say, fellas, I know you're thirsty. Let me give you a little taste.
Oh, that more than happening. A taste. Yeah. This is a freaking buffet here. Come on down, you know. I'll slice the ham myself. Come on down and eat a little
bit.
Who
needs you porn when you have Michelle's Instagram account?
I see you, Michelle. I see you, girl. Owning it. And every time I see it, I'm like, Get it. Love her. Can we see those thirst traps and then the nail paint again? Yeah,
yes.
Let's see how bad
Michelle Lock Instagram. Let me go to Michelle Lock Instagram. This is what I'm talking
There's
about.
There's no thirst traps on my Instagram.
The whole Instagram's a thirst trap. Like it's not, you know, it's for knowledge too, not just physical needs.
And we love that for you, by the way. We love this expression of thirst. We were all 100%.
Yeah. I'm laughing because one of them, Jake's like, you hit every area. You even have bare feet on carpet. He's like, you've hit every.
Eli, look at this. Yeah. Okay? Oh. Like she's got cleavage, dogs, and feet. You can't beat that. Plus the tattoo to show you she's a little bit edgy. She's not just your normal divorce lawyer. She's somebody who really can get down if you need her to.
I'm a cool lawyer. And girl, you better be careful with those feet exposed. Right? So I'm like, you're probably on Feet Finder. You got to go on Feet Finder
She will be soon.
I'm on Feet Finder. Someone has found every single possible piece of content with my foot exposed.
You're on Feet Finder. Okay, time out. What is Feet Finder and...
They were talking about this is how these sites, and it's not people necessarily curating, it's AI now at this point, like curating all these materials, and it's like no free feet pics is the movement now, you know what I'm saying? So Eli, you should...
Wait, so are you on Feet Finder, Eli?
I'm on Feet Finder. When I was in my BuzzFeed days, someone found every single possible foot photo of me online and made a compilation album on Foot Finder. And Jake's probably in it too. Probably
you'll never catch my bare feet out in the open. I'm sorry, not to be prudish.
I mean, I have nice feet. Don't get me wrong, but
really excited about it.
Yeah, always manicured too. Very pleasant.
You can view and buy feet pics and sell feet pics.
Gabby's like, God damn it, guys, the questions. we're all on Feet Finder right now, looking up feet.
Like, this is, Gabby's very disappointed.
I did not know that there was Feet Finder. I'm learning so much on this episode.
If you gain anything from this interview, there's a Foot Finder and you can look up your own feet. It might be on there. You'd be surprised how many people are on Foot Finder.
What's view more content? Man, there really is a website for everything. So,
another thing too is like the feet people are like legit, because the one thing I get probably once a year is someone saying in my DMs like, hey, could I send you shoes and you wear them for like a week and take photos of it? And then
I agree. That is literally like Vanity Fair style. That's Brigitte Bardot. Sorry, Michelle, called you out.
Hello. We need that on the side of like a bus, you know, with your advertisements or whatever, or like on those like benches, those city benches.
Let me see. I
am curious though, Michelle, and like, were you posting those type of photos and all that stuff like while you were like married in the marriage? Like, I guess I'm actually curious of like your emotional process to get you to those photos, because that is a journey of like showing yourself off and all those things. So I am
I used to be 300 pounds. Okay. Wow. I've lost now 135 pounds over the course of, I think I started the weight loss journey in 2021. Yeah, in 2021. And so I've been on it for 5 years now. And I got to this after my divorce. So those pictures, all of those things that you see on my social are all post-divorce. And it was really revenge body. It's part of it. But it's like Stella got her groove back. Except in this case, it was Michelle got her groove back. And boy, did I get it back.
Hell yeah. Do you get people sliding your DMs being like, hey girl, what those like stockings do? What's up with her? Like, what,
you know, I really, like, what? I don't get a lot, believe it or not. I mean, I get some gym pictures.
You're a divorce attorney. Like, guys are, let's be fair, Eli, if you're going to contact the sexy divorce attorney, aren't you going to be a little more cautious than just the influencer that's sitting on the beach all day?
That is true. That it could be a little scary. It's like, yeah, you just a lawsuit in your email immediately. Like, after you just, like, shoot a DM out. I'm like, yeah. Well, Michelle, you even being able to openly even talk about this stuff shows how much work you've done. Like, I work with women every day. So them being able to even express these vulnerabilities and everything else. And I know you like to crack jokes and you evade and certain things.
What? I deflect? But it doesn't what? Mean you, no.
What? What are you talking about? And that's like a coping mechanism, but it doesn't stop you from doing the work, you know, and that's what's incredible to see. So you even having this podcast and being able to unpack and share your story, and I'm telling you, is so incredibly healing for so many people because everyone needs it. Like, I've worked with so many people that are so lost. So any example whatsoever and being able to even express it openly says so much about the work that you've done. So what I would love for you in this moment, a little coaching moment, is for you just to sit and say, thank you so much, Eli. I really appreciate that. And
God, you sound like my therapist. He's like, Michelle, sit with it. I'm like, I don't wanna. He's like, you're gonna. Thank you, Eli. Very, very much.
I'm the same way, though. Yeah.
I don't like compliments.
I'm the same way.
I really hate that you've pegged me so well that I use humor to deflect, because I so do.
Oh, I'm the same way, though. I'm the exact same way. So I see it because I am it. Yeah, I'm the exact same way. So no
shame. It makes me really funny at times. Yeah. The journey that I share, and I share in part for a couple reasons, but one of it is really to give people in toxic relationships hope. And it's not just women, because men can be in toxic relationships too. I mean, there are some not very nice women that really put men through the ringers and can be very abusive as well. So I say for anyone that's going through a toxic relationship is that no matter how much time you've spent in it, you can still get out. There's still time left in your life, no matter your age, to change things and start over and to find your peace and happiness. Is my journey what it's going to be for everyone? No. Everyone's journey is unique, but you want to look back at the end of your life and go, yeah, I did it. I did it. And I lived the way and authentically in the way I needed to live. And to have less shame and guilt associated with picking the wrong person, we all make mistakes and we should give ourselves some grace from it. And I think my stepdad, who has been instrumental in my life, always told me, he's like, we don't regret anything. We learn from it. And that's kind of, you know, share the message. And if I can change someone's day, life, or week and just make it better, then I've done something good for this world.
I love that you said that. And you said something that's really important that everyone, like, so I do 8-week boot camps. It's all about post-breakup healing, all that, navigating the next stage of your life. I always tell them the hardest thing is not even like necessarily forgiving them. It's forgiving yourself. Constant grace, constant self-forgiveness. And that has to be a daily practice and reminder, because you're going to use all that emotional energy of just overwhelming yourself with rumination of what you could have done or what you should have done. And that doesn't create any space for you to do the work on yourself, for you to like expand and figure out what's the next stage of my life. And this is why I like to like go on like a deeper like upbringing nervous system approach, because it's really easy to beat yourself up over who you see in the mirror, but it's really hard to beat up that 12-year-old girl, that 8-year-old girl, that, you know, and that's all, and our lives all stem from something that we're trying to fill a void from.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and everyone has that journey. So you being able to, you know, get out of that situation and rebuild yourself and be self-reflective of what was that void. And that's what I mean about accountability, not say, well, he was the wrong one. No.
Own your stink. Own your stink.
Own the stink. But that's a beautiful stink. I don't want you to beat yourself up that it's stinky. Right. It's just like, oh, now we know what to wash and what to care for and what
to nurture. We know to put some extra spritz on.
Yeah, spritz, you know, all the things, the fabuloso, if you will. So yeah, like it's
oh my God,
and that's what makes the journey yours. It's your life journey outside of relationships. We put so much, oh God, we're such a lovesick society. It's insane. Like, oh, I only matter if I'm in a relationship and my partner. No, there's like your whole life story, and this partner is a reflection of the work you're doing on yourself.
A partner is an addition to who you are. It is not who you are.
Exactly. Yeah. No, totally. And I get it. We want people. We should want people. I don't go under the mantra of like, oh, yeah, you don't need anyone. Choose yourself. Like, no, I'm lonely. I want to hug up on someone after a hard day's work. We're pack animals. I want
to cuddle.
I want to cuddle. All right. I like cuddling. You know, so I don't hate on people that want that.
Cuddling is no go. It's a no go zone. You're going to have to go. You're going to have to go through that, Eli. Like, why? Why don't men cuddle?
So, okay, I grew up a little differently where I grew up with a bunch of women. So, like, I'm down for a good cuddle sesh. But, like, a lot of dudes, it's like you are it's I don't know. It's a weird example, but it's like it's like you go to war and then you come back the next day and I'm like, all right, we're going to do a feeling circle and then do basket weaving and go on this, like, oasis retreat. I'm like, I'm still shell-shocked. So, again, we're all byproducts of the patriarchy, mothers included. So there's a social expectation of men, and it's not putting your guard down and expressing vulnerability and emotion. And call it what it is, a lot of women don't respond to it or get turned off by it or don't expect it either. Like, I'm not every woman's cup of tea. Some women like a more macho type of man, and that's okay. So it's like it's all the social expectation and not having enough practice. So, like, again, that a lot of men, and I have to think of this too, is we're both in bed asleep. We hear a noise downstairs. Who's expected to go down there and figure it out? Me.
Not
so
me.
I can die. Yeah, exactly. I have this thing in my head that you don't, that I can die at any day for you. And that is me being hypervigilant in ways that you're not even aware of. So when you say, hey, let's cuddle and just bake pies and be super sweet and stuff, that's why I love you as a partner, because you're going to bring that out of me. But also, I'm the person that if some shit goes down, I'm going to handle that. And that's why we need each other. So it's like we do this whole, like, well, you're opposite and you suck and this. No, that's why I want you. That's why I want a woman. That's why you want a man. But we shouldn't shut each other out either. So it's like we're just opening each other up to, like, a higher sensibility of what life can be. So
I got to tell you, a little bit of knuckle dragging is okay.
One of the most disappointing things a man can hear is for a woman to say, can we just cuddle? If a man is in bed with a woman, I don't care how sensitive he is. I don't care how open he is. The first thing that's going to come to mind is, how quickly is this going to get me into her pants? That's literally what it becomes. And I hate to say it, it's instinctual. I can cuddle and I do enjoy cuddling, but that doesn't mean that I wouldn't like the cuddling to sort of be a little bit supercharged in a way.
Okay. Jake went to boner town. I'm over here talking about relationships and dating, like partnership dynamics. And he's like, I'm trying to get it in. It's a Yahoo connections date. I'm just trying to slip it in real quick. You know, I'm like, Jake, you're nasty, bro.
Let's be honest here. Eli, you got to be honest with yourself.
Oh, no, I'm being honest. I didn't know we were talking about that. 100%.
Michelle's like, why can't guys just cuddle? And I'm telling you, because oftentimes, anytime a guy's in bed with you and you're like cuddling, you're like, you may not be in the mood for sex, Michelle. And you understand this, and the guy's thinking, well, if we cuddle, I'm going to want sex, and she doesn't want sex. She just wants to cuddle. That's a real thing. I hate to say it like that. Yes, can a guy cuddle without having sex? Absolutely. But honestly, 99% of the time, if a guy thinks cuddling is going to get him laid, he'll be cuddling.
If we're talking early date, if we're like, you're going on dates and whatever, and you're kicking it and all that, and she says, hey, come on over, first off, we banging sick. And then as she says, oh, let's cuddle. Oh, hell yeah, it's going down. And then it's like, no, I just actually want to cuddle. Yeah. Also, let's talk about what cuddling is. Your booty is literally rubbed up against me if we're spooning. So,
oh my God.
It's Michelle, so true. No, it's so true.
Michelle needs a big spoon guy. She's not a little spoon guy.
No, like,
she
needs a big spoon. I need so 6'4", 6'5" spoon.
Yeah. She's like, give me the bear and the lion. You know what I'm saying?
I need everything. Bear and lion and some knuckle dragging. We need some Neanderthals.
Michelle's receptors need constant attention and stimulation. That's not a double entendre, Michelle. It's your brain, your mind, your body, everything. It's true.
Yeah, listen, I'm a whole lot. Like, it is. I'm a whole lot. And the person that has volunteered for that job, it is a full-time occupation.
Nights and weekends.
Seriously.
Nights and weekends.
Love that.
But, you know, like there's some benefits to it. But yeah, no, you're a rock star.
Thanks. Appreciate it. I know it's wild.
Where can they find you?
Yeah. You know, you could find me on Yahoo Personals. You could find me on Craigslist Connections. You could find me on Foot Finder. I am on there. No, you could. My social across the board is at It's Eli Vasquez. So you could check me out on Instagram, TikTok, website. I have a podcast, which Michelle is on, which we're going to do another one. I want to talk celebs.
We got some stuff to talk about too.
Yes. So it's called the Self-Hype Podcast. But yeah, feel free to check in. Feel free to shoot me a DM. Feel free to check out my stuff. All my links are there and we could sit down and do the work together. So yeah.
Well, thank you, Eli, for joining us because I enjoy our conversations. You make me laugh. You make me smile. And at the same time, you educate me. So I love it.
I appreciate it. Michelle, thank you so much for having me. You're a beautiful energy, and I'm so incredibly proud of you. And I don't know how the hell you even wanted to talk to me again on the podcast, on my podcast, because I just gave you a bunch of compliments the whole time. You must have just hated me. You're like,
Michelle loves a bargain. It's free coaching. Like, you get free divorce advice if you're needed, Eli, and she gets free coaching sessions. So it works out.
No, really. Like, compliments for me, I'm like, nope, next. Thank you. Let's keep the bus moving.
Oh, my God. How are we homies? Because I'm like such a words of affirmation guy. I'm just like, oh, my God, I want to verbalize and give you love so much. Like,
because it's yin and yang. It's the push and pull. Yin and yang.
That's what it, yeah, that's what's doing. No, and Jake, yin and yang. Dude, you're freaking up. You're freaking amazing. I'm trying to get Michelle. I'm trying to give love to Jake right now.
Yeah, like, Michelle.
I'm trying to give him his proper flowers. He's been holding it down. Jake, you're incredible. You're such beautiful energy.
Thank you.
I've been doing this for a long time. It's hard to just like vibe with people. We didn't really get started for another like what? Really like 20, 25 minutes because we were just shooting shit and hanging out and having a good old time. That is such a relief. You guys made my weekend. Oh my God.
Well, we're so happy to do that. And I got to tell you is that we need more men like you in the world because you're giving some hope where people feel hopeless. And I think that's a really important thing. And Michelle actually does this. She provides relief to a lot of people who are going through pain, going through struggle, and want to alleviate themselves. Whereas you're trying to build them up to someone who they can not only be proud of themselves, but also attract the kind of partner they deserve. So they have to feel that sort of rebuilding, regrowth. And you're one of those people who puts that out there. So really appreciate what you do.
Appreciate that, Jake. So eloquent of a man. I love that.
Oh. He really is, right? Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Love, Lust, Law. Want to reach out to me? Want to find out more about what's going on? You can. You can follow me across all social media platforms at Attorney Michelle Locke. You can also email me at hello@michellelocke.com. Just remember that Michelle is spelled with a 1L, and you can thank my mother, Margot, with no T for that. Have a great one.